Z1077 welcomes you to Up Close, a weekly public affairs program presented by Z1077 News. You're invited to call in with your questions and comments. Our call-in number is 366-8471. Now, your host for Up Close, Gary Danielle.
Well, thank you, mystery announcer, wherever you are, and welcome to the Z1077 Up Close Show on this drop-dead gorgeous but a bit brisk December 1st, 2023, to which I say to you, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. When you say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit on the first day of the month, to your friends and neighbors, you wish them health and happiness for the entire month. So we wish health and happiness, and we say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit to you. Up Close Show today, a special guest and a familiar guest, and we're so grateful that she makes the time to come out and talk to us and talk to her constituents, the chairman of the San Bernardino County Board of Supervisors, Don Rao. Don, welcome back to the Z1077 Up Close Show.
Good morning, Gary.
Delightful to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
The seasons are changing. My goodness gracious, I'm going to talk a little bit about how the county prepares for that. But first, let's reintroduce Don Rao a little bit to people who may not know about you. Tell us about where you're from. Where'd you grow up, Don?
I grew up in the coastal area, in the San Pedro Palos Verdes area, in the harbor. Met and married my late husband, who was active duty Marine Corps, and we got stationed out here in the Morongo Basin in 2003. Unfortunately, on his second deployment to Iraq, he was killed, and my kids were 3 and 5 at that time, and we owned our home in Yucca Valley.
Well, that's a tough age to lose it.
It was really hard.
I'm sure it was hard on you, too, but especially with kids.
We were fortunate that we had the home that we owned, a wonderful church community and retired community here, and the Morongo Basin really just became an area where I thought it would be a great place to raise the kids.
So you put down your roots?
I did.
And Yucca Valley?
They both graduated from Yucca Valley High School.
And your roots flourished because you got active in local politics. You started with the Yucca Valley Town Council.
Planning Commission.
Planning Commission.
Yeah,
oh,
Chad Mays.
Yeah.
Appointed me as his planning commissioner. I was subdividing some lots and ran into some frustrations, and Chad put me on the planning commission, and then I learned that you can advise policymakers from that level, but you don't get to be policymakers. Yeah. And that frustrated me, so I ran.
It's interesting. That's how Sonny Bono got started in local
really?
Politics. He was starting a business in Palm Springs and was running into difficulty with the planning commission, and so he got on their planning commission, and then subsequently the city council, of course, was mayor for quite some time.
Yeah.
So
similar journey.
You and Sonny Bono have stuff in common. So while you were working with the Yucca Valley Town Council, you met a guy named Paul Cook.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So Chad, some of the things that we interface, and I wasn't a land use person at all. I mean, I was had journalism background, marketing, and so Chad says, listen, you need to get smarter in land use. And one of the things that I realized was it's not the local jurisdiction's rules necessarily. It could be state or federal as well.
Yep.
So Chad introduced me to Paul Cook, who was our assemblyman at that time, and Paul, who is a little bit of a redheaded character, said, stop yelling at me and come to work for me and figure out how to help me fix some of these problems.
Well, if I know Paul, he said, stop yelling at me, come to work for me, and I'll yell at you. I know Paul well, of course. So you went on to be the field rep for Congressman Paul Cook.
I did. Yeah. And so I did that, which was great because I could do it part-time and still substitute teach and hang out with the kids and their sports and activities. And then Paul went on to Congress, so I kept the same job as a field rep at the jurisdictional, we went to the federal area. Yeah. So I knew all about local, state, and federal, but only interfaced with our county supervisors in that role.
Yeah, but that gives you a great rounded background into how government works. You've got local government, and then county government, and then state government, and then federal government. And you've been involved with all four of those steps, which gives you a unique look at how it works. And now you're making it work, or trying.
Right. So, and it was 2018 when now Assemblymember Ramos, he was our county supervisor at that time, he sought a higher office, and it left a two-year gap in his role. And as a county charter, we're not a general law county, we have our own unique charter. It is one of the aspects that makes the charter unique is that the governor does not replace the vacancy. The remaining Board of Supervisors vote on who they would like to see. And so I went through that application and appointment process and then was able to seek that two-year appointment. But they did want me to run again in the next election because the learning curve is so steep. So right. They wanted me to commit to doing it for a total of 6 years.
So you did 2 years as an appointed supervisor, mm-hmm. and then you're finishing up your first term as an elected supervisor.
Correct.
And as you announced the last time you were on this show, you are running for another
It will be my
term,
last one.
And which will be your last one.
Yes.
In March, so you'll be on the ballot in March.
The county charter allows for 3 terms, 12 total years, but I will serve one more and then hand it off to another willing participant.
How's that learning curve going?
I'm in my stride now, but
yeah,
I can see why they wanted 6 years.
Yeah, it probably does take a couple of years to understand.
It really does.
I always do a little refresher on the services of San Bernardino County before you come on, so I can see, you know, what's going on. And it amazes me the amount of services this county offers.
It's tremendous.
And some of it's pretty intense. So so we're ready to have another 4 years of Don Rao. I already gave you my endorsement on my last show, and I'm going to give it to you again. You've
I
got my vote,
that.
Don. And you know, people say, well, she did da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, you can't always agree on absolutely everything.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that a lot of decisions you made you may not agree with what the decision made, but the state law says you have to handle it mm-hmm. in a certain way. It was interesting. I was talking to somebody. Yucca Valley is having a meeting about there is a senior mobile home park.
Oh, I heard.
Which wants to open up to younger people. And the City Planning Commission is going to talk about it because they're on a permit. But people don't understand all mobile home parks in the state of California are run by the state of California.
Yes, they are.
So if you have a problem, you don't go to the county. You don't go to the city. You have to go to the state. I learned this when I was a young buck reporter. I was doing a story about a mobile home park just east of 29 Palms that was having some problems. And I found out that, because I went to the city, the city says, we don't have anything to do with it. I
said,
but it's in the city limits. We don't have anything to do with it. It's all state.
That's correct.
Yeah, just like the thing with the Joshua trees now. We're going to touch with that now.
Oh,
it's
sure.
all state. So while what you say may not be what someone particularly likes, they have to understand the decision is not necessarily based on what Don Rao
right,
thinks.
Right, right.
Don Rao's job is to follow the law and follow a constitution that is set up, a charter that is set up on how to run the county. I just thought I'd
I appreciate that.
Give people both sides
sure.
of the street. But based on my knowledge of you, and you and I actually go way back long before you were
yeah.
in any public office, you certainly have my vote, Don. You've earned it.
Thank you, Gary.
I think you've done a wonderful job. Enough of that. So moving on a little bit, so you became active, you became a Board of Supervisors. Was it what you thought it would be?
That's a fascinating question. So 50% yes and 50% no.
Okay.
I didn't understand that. Dennis Hansberger told me this. He was our supervisor way back in the day.
Yep.
He actually sought the appointment as well. So we were sitting in a room together, and I figure the final 13 of us that interviewed, if they were good enough to be in that room, I could learn from all of them. So I actually
kept you're picking their brains in the room.
Yeah, one of them went to work with me. Dennis and I kept in touch, and so it was a great opportunity to get viewpoints that might not have been my own and to learn more. So, and everybody was very supportive. But Dennis said to me, he said, at the beginning of the month, your calendar will populate with half of the days with meetings for boards and commissions that you sit on that you will have no control over because they're statutorily assigned. And I looked at him, I'm like, what do you mean? And then all of a sudden it started happening. So I have 15 different boards and commissions that I sit on as the representative from the county.
And you can't choose whether you want to sit on them
no.
or not.
Actually, the chairman of the board assigns those. So now I'm in the position of being able to say, I sit on our county retirement board, SB Serra, for example, and help manage as a trustee, the fiduciary responsibility of that money that's entrusted for retirement. But it could be our Mojave Desert Air Quality Control District that I sit on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the old Norton Air Force Base, SBD, the reuse on that. I sit on that one. Transportation. There's all kinds of stuff that I had no idea that was as technical and time-consuming as it is. And there's an awful lot at stake if you're not paying attention. And then
there's a learning curve on every single one of those.
Yeah. The second aspect of it were we have a little over 22,000 employees at the county, and most of them are represented by different labor unions, and we have negotiations that take place with all of the different bargaining units that come before the board, and it goes on a rotating basis. Their contracts are anywhere from 1 to 3 to 5 years, and I just was unfamiliar with contract negotiations in labor unions, and so that was the other aspect that was completely foreign to me in trying to learn and understand how wages and working conditions were incredibly important to our workforce, but yet trying to be responsible with the bottom line and how to manage that. And what you do for one union, you have to think about the unintended consequence that you may have to do it for all of them, and then what is the bigger financial implication.
So what's the positives?
Well, it's all positive.
You said 50% positive, 50% negative.
Oh, no, 50% expected, 50% okay. Unexpected.
Okay, unexpected. Yeah. Okay. Now, of the expected things, what is it you enjoy most about being a county supervisor?
So uniquely to the 3rd District, I have the largest amount of unincorporated residents. So there are approximately 100,000 people that live in the 3rd District that have no other representation. They do not have a city council. And so I am their only elected
Joshua
person.
Joshua Tree being an example.
Correct. Yeah. Landers, Johnson Valley,
which went from
Lucerne
a bump
Valley.
Of the road to a world-class resort
Poof,
in 10 years.
Yes.
Boom.
So all of those communities I am their voice. So being in the community meetings, interfacing with those community members, hearing what's going on, understanding, I drive that dip out at 247 all the time. I can tell you why we have fatalities at that bend in the road just after Boone Road when you're coming out of King of the Hammers, because it's an optical illusion that you don't see the dip, and there's typically a car there, and if you pass on that double yellow going uphill, then that's what happens.
Yeah, there's been, just in the last week, I think 2 different fatal crashes there.
Correct. I think we're at 4 fatalities.
Both 2 people died.
Yeah, and it's incredibly sad. It is preventable by those of us that drive that all the time, not passing on a double yellow, but trying to work with Caltrans and our other partners. So to answer your question, being the voice for our unincorporated residents is the most rewarding. So that is the best part.
Let's talk about some things that are coming up. We keep hearing about green waste. The state of California has decided we're all going to go into the composting fad. But it's not being implemented very smoothly, in my opinion. What is the state mandate to the county, and what are the steps that we'll be seeing taken in the next few months?
So before I end up in therapy at the end of this job. So this is another one of the...
I know a guy.
This is another one of those things that the state does and the county implements, much like percolation tests or septic inspections or anything like that. Those are state laws.
So everybody says that damn county is making me get a sewer
right.
test. No, it's not the damn county, right. It's the damn state.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the person doing it is paid and hired by the county, but the state gives us the funds to do their bidding. So this is another one of those. This is a Senate bill that actually passed way back in 2016 under Governor Brown. And so most of our state legislators weren't even around at that time. And so what its intent is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by diverting our green waste, and that's yard waste as well as food waste, from going into our landfills, and as you said, sort of composting.
Yeah.
And they have said, counties, go, you do it. And then the counties have said, hey, solid waste providers that, you know, for example, like Burtek in this general vicinity, you get to implement this. And Burtek says, well, you get to either have an extra can, or you can bag separate food waste and put it into your green can, tie it up weekly. So as you scrape your plates, you can do it and put it in the fridge, which is what they're encouraging you to do, or a temporary bin outside. And then it goes tied up and it gets put in your green, if you have a green can, that you then have to pay more for, because Burtek's not going to absorb that cost.
No.
They didn't want this. And then get this, or you can self-haul to one of the 4 sites in the county. 29 Palms has a site in that area. So you can get into your car that probably takes gas And you can drive vehicle miles and emit emissions to save greenhouse gas to then put it in the transfer station there.
Gotta love the state of California. Gotta love them. So, but regardless of how somewhat ludicrous it is, it's got to be done. It's a law.
Yes. Yeah. And then this is the scary part, Gary, is that the state law requires periodic inspections. So you might see BRTC peeking in your trash can to try to determine if you're compliant or not. If they see food scraps, they can give you a warning. They can refuse to take your can until you clean it out. And if you do it too many times, and this is in those like black or brown goopy trash, I call them the goopy trash, but the regular solid waste cans, uh-huh. if they find food scraps in there, they can eventually move to fining you or refusing to take your trash.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so mechanically, how does it work? A household in San Bernardino County is told they must comply. Now, is it different in the unincorporated areas than is it in the cities?
We have different franchise agreements throughout, but the state law is the state law.
Okay.
Now, there are waivers. This gets even wackier. I'll give you an example. In the community of Running Springs, the law does it by zones. And the zones are set up by census tract. So Running Springs, as an example, has Zone A on one side and Zone B on the other side of a street. There's an elevation waiver. So Zone A, neighbor here, has to comply, but Zone B doesn't. And they're right across the street. So one of them gets a waiver and is exempt, and the other one doesn't because of however this bill was set up on the census tract. So we are asking, I am asking, the state legislators, Rosalise Ochoa-Bogue, who was our state senator for parts of the Valley, and then Assemblymember Lackey, to see if they would consider running fixes on this legislation that would help. Little Hoover Commission convened and said, stop, hold on, it might have meant well, but the implementation is absolutely ludicrous. Stop the implementation. So we're hopeful that we can get it stopped. Right now, it's not looking like that. So our solid waste haulers have to legally move forward, and we give them a date that they are supposed to comply. I have an example of a letter that was just sent here in November that says coming up starting February 1st.
February 1st. Now, yes. For someone who lives in the Morongo Basin, mm-hmm. basically that means there will be a separate container to put your food scraps in. So those of us who may scrape our plates either into our garbage disposal, which is not good either.
Yes.
But everybody does it. And, right. Or if you scrape your plate into a compost, now you'll have to scrape your plate into this special container, which will be picked up in addition to your recycling and trash
that you pay for. Okay. But here's where it gets even dicier. So if you get the green container, BRTC will provide it. That leaves and yard waste can go in there. But your food waste has to be bagged separately.
So it's the food waste that's got to be completely separate.
Correct.
Yeah. Interesting, when this first came down the pike, I have a rather sophisticated composting thing at my house, kind of a hobby. I have a chipper shredder. And when I cut down my bushes and stuff, I run it through the chipper shredder. I take that and I put it in a big compost. Mm-hmm. And actually, a lot of people know I have that, and they come and use it. So I called the state. And I said, I compost now. I have a chipper shredder. I have a compost bin. Am I exempt? They said, nope.
No.
I said, you can't do either or, but you can do both. So now in addition to the composting I do, but I guess what they're really focusing on is kitchen scraps.
It's not
so much the trimming your bushes on your property. It's kitchen scraps.
So it's very frustrating and difficult for our residents. And our legislators know it. And like I said, a lot of them weren't there when this went into effect, but they're trying to help us. So we are advocating to try to either halt the implementation and or make changes legislatively.
Yeah, I mean, is there some common sense that says the science doesn't work? No?
I think so.
Now, the Little Hoover Commission, they're set up to do that, to go, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
And their report is landing on all the desks up in Sacramento.
Okay. So there's
it
still
hope,
may not be implemented.
But it's a glimmer.
It's just a glimmer.
Yeah.
Okay. On that glimmer, we're going to take a quick little break. We'll be back with more with the chairman of the San Bernardino County Board of Supervisors, Don Rowe, after these brief messages. Don't go away.
Treat your taste buds to the King's Hawaiian Pork and Slaw Sandwich, back for a limited time at Firehouse Subs. Slow-smoked pulled pork, melted pepper jack cheese, and sweet and tangy slaw on a toasted King's Hawaiian roll. Make it a meal by pairing it with their new Tropical Cherry Limeade, a blend of pineapple and cherry with a squeeze of fresh lime. At Firehouse Subs, a portion of every purchase helps provide much-needed life-saving equipment to first responders across the country. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. In the Home Depot Center, Yucca Valley.
It's flu season. Flu vaccination is an important preventative tool for all, especially those with chronic health conditions. The flu vaccine prevents illnesses, medical hospitalizations, and death. Get your flu shot now to protect your health. Call the Morongo Basin Community Health Center today to schedule your appointment. 760-365-9305. Morongo Basin Community Health Center, a program of Morongo Basin Healthcare District.
A trip to the pharmacy should be easy. That's why so many people choose a local community pharmacy instead of a big chain, like Star Pharmacy in Joshua Tree. It's easy to get in and get out with your medications, and they offer one-on-one health-related advice. They get to know their customers and can help manage medications and check for any interactions. Star Pharmacy offers a wide range of over-the-counter supplements, plus durable medical equipment like walkers and wheelchairs. Star Pharmacy, Holly Road, across from the post office, Joshua Tree.
And we are back with the Z1077 Up Close Show. I'm your host, Gary Danielle. Our producer is Michelle Alley. And our phone number, if you'd like to call and speak with the chairman of the San Bernardino County Board of Supervisors, Don Rowe, is 760-366-8471. And we're having a little fun talking about stuff the state says we got to do. And we're going, really? But we're doing it because that's what they say we got to do. I want to come back to some more directly local mm-hmm. stuff that are affecting people. A lot of people have called us and say that the county won't do anything about my road.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, North Joshua Tree, I know mm-hmm. they have a lot of problems when they have severe weather, all that kind of stuff. But the county is kind of limited on what they can do. Can you explain the relationship between those roads, many of which are what you call social roads? In other words, it really wasn't a road there, but you drive back and forth between you and your neighbors so much, mm-hmm. now there's a road there.
Right.
Does that mean then the county has to maintain that? So there's a lot of that question. Come in, but
no, yeah. But no. So no, the county doesn't need to maintain the social road. However, legally, it becomes what they call a prescriptive right that the community becomes so used to that road that then when you want to close it off, sometimes you have to go to court to get permission to close it off. Because it has what they call prescriptive rights, which is an interesting twist.
I'm going to go off to the side for mm-hmm. a minute. Is it a requirement that every piece of property has access?
It is.
Well, there, I'm reading some stories in 29 Palms about some properties that are out there that don't have access. How does that happen?
I don't know yeah. because I encountered this with over behind off of Sunny Slope as you're cutting up over where EV Free Church used to be uh-huh. on the north side. Yep. There are parcels up in there, up in those rocks, that have no access to them. So I don't know how that happened. I'm going to guess it's back in the 50s when the original plat map sort of
so here's
laid
your property,
out.
But you can't. Yeah. You're not guaranteed to get to it.
I've tried to talk to our realtors a lot. Be careful in that because otherwise you'd have to trespass over somebody else's property to get to your property. So that's why they require that you have access. So
there are some properties that don't have access that are basically grandfathered in because
correct.
They were sold that way.
Yes.
Is that fixable, or does it have to go to court, or you just have to live with it?
Unknown. I do think that that there is a part of the track map when you the Small Map Track Act at the state when you want to develop or build. A five-acre parcel might not be a five-acre parcel when you actually go to record certain things on it because it allows then for easements and things around it. So eventually enough development occurs there will be those easements around that will allow access, but we still do have some landlocked parcels right now.
So the problem is self-healing in some
eventually.
Ways.
Eventually.
So I live in North Joshua Tree. I have a property that's very rural. It's a dirt road to get to it. What can I do to get that road maintained? What is the process by which I could have the county perhaps
come to my open house January 30th over at the community center in Joshua Tree at 4:30?
I did not know she would have that coming up.
So January 30th, I do a monthly open house where we are addressing different topics that are of interest to our residents here in the basin. And that is a great question that I get asked a lot. So I'm having two gentlemen from Public Works come and address the question of, I live on a dirt road. What is my responsibility? What is the county's responsibility? We've done this a little bit before. And the answer is the county cannot maintain all of the dirt roads that we have. We do have some that are maintained by us, but we have a department called Special Districts, and they will actually help form a district. And it's its own little form of government. You draw a boundary around it. You can go to your neighbors and you can say, hey, neighbor to the north, south, east, west, do you want to be in our own road district?
And you self-tax.
You self-tax. Uh-huh. The county collects it from you on a monthly basis, puts it into an escrow fund of sorts. They tell you what operations and maintenance will be annually for it. They build in a typical 3% inflator year over year. And then they will come out and they will provide the service to you. Or you can do the same thing. You can form your own district through county special districts, and then you can contract your services.
So you can go down to your neighbors and say, hey, let's all get together and do that. I know a couple areas, I think in the Landers area and in Wonder Valley, have formed those districts.
Yes.
But then what happened is more and more people came along. The roads needed more maintenance, mm-hmm. but those property owners did not want to pay anymore. So now there's simply not enough in the fund to pay for the road maintenance.
Well, that's what's happening. And they get to vote. And then actually, they get a ballot and they vote. Do you want to pay an increased fee for service? Yes or no? And it has to be more than 50% in that special district that vote to maintain the service at whatever price. And if it's voted no, then the county's special districts will spend down the balance of what's in the fund. And then when it's exhausted, then it will cease to exist.
Okay. So then you have to wait till next year till it refunds?
No, then the district goes away.
It's just gone.
Yes.
Okay.
So or perhaps it remains, but it's unfunded. And then at which point the residents that could come back and then say, I have this happening up in Twin Peaks in the mountain community where they were given a price by the county to say, if you want us to pulverize and redo your roads, it's X. If you want us to pulverize, redo, operate, and maintain, it's X plus Y. And they said, well, we don't want that over the next 10, 15 years. That's way too much. So we then ended up going back and saying, we're going to let your existing, what used to be asphalt, that's kind of broken asphalt, turning back into a pseudo dirt road. We'll maintain that by plowing and the general upkeep on that. And that's much less expensive. And that's what they voted to do.
So they can vote on
their levels of service.
The level of service.
Yes.
On there. So give us again the who, what, when, and where on your meeting. So anybody who's listening who wants to find out how to get your roads fixed or maintained.
January 30th. 4:30 at Joshua Tree Community Center off of Sunburst.
Okay, so be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to hear about it on social media. Go to the meeting and get the actual information on what can and can't be done.
And we'll help them try to
and there's
to
a lot of
their
stuff
own
they just
district.
Can't do because of easements and that kind of stuff. Years ago, I spoke to someone in county government about, we were doing a story about the dirt roads in North Joshua Tree after a big storm. And, people had called, well, I can't get an ambulance in, it's an emergency, da-da-da-da-da. And the person at that time, this was probably 20 years ago, so said, we understand if it's an emergency, we can go and do a one-time thing if it's an absolute emergency. But the problem is once we put a blade on a road, now we're liable for it.
That's correct.
Once that road grader goes up that grade, it's now the legal responsibility of the county. So if that road grader is a boulder there that somebody runs into and hurts somebody, the county is the one that gets sued.
That's correct.
Yeah. So they just can't go willy-nilly fix the roads because then they own them.
And the same is true in the town of Yucca Valley, city of 29 Palms. They have non-maintained roads as well.
Yeah, I live on one.
It's the same, you know.
I will say, I live on a non-maintained road in the city of 29 Palms. We did have one storm that was really bad, and I called and I said, we're not maintained, but this is an emergency. And they came out and they did flatten out, so we get an ambulance or fire down to our property if we needed it. So a couple things. You just talked about a meeting that you're having about road maintenance. You just had a meeting with the county district attorney.
I did.
And that was very well attended.
It was.
Yeah. So you seem to be doing these focused community meetings in different areas, but I want to come back to that meeting with the district attorney because it was about, you know, something we hear about and read about a lot, but it's affecting us here in this county, and that's the fentanyl, which is a scourge.
Oh yeah,
it's awful. I personally know of four young people who have passed away here in the Morongo Basin from a fentanyl overdose. So don't say, "Oh, that's happening back east." It's not. It's here.
And it's so. Yeah. He made two interesting points that night that all of us have. We know someone who has been affected by a fentanyl overdose, likely in our extended groups, either friends or family. And that oftentimes these could be someone that says, oh, I'm just going to try this one time and that's it. It's laced with something and it kills them. It's not happening necessarily to only chronic drug abusers or people on the streets. It could be that one time, just a curiosity that somebody tries something. The other thing that he said that was really interesting to me was nationwide, we lose approximately 120 people. They die every day to fentanyl. He said that's the equivalent of the size of a Southwest aircraft that goes between Ontario and Sacramento.
Yeah, I heard that.
Did you hear
clip? I heard that clip on the news.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
And great reporting.
Yeah.
So that if one of those were going down every day and nosediving, our federal government would stop flights. They would figure out what is causing it. And they would ground everything until it was fixed. And yet this is still happening. It's just not the dramatic airplane crash to bring attention to it.
It's here and there and here and there and here and there.
And so how do we all deal with that? Because it's impacting everything.
So what is his suggestion? What can we, the citizenry, do to protect that?
So... Well, he as a prosecutor, as a district attorney in charge of prosecutors, one of the things that he would like to see is not the first time offense that someone is caught dealing fentanyl. At that time, they're told, if you are caught a second time and there is a fatality that results, that you'll be charged with murder.
And they have to sign a paper saying that they understand that. Because I know in San Bernardino County, I think we've had two prosecutions so far for murder for someone who has sold fentanyl to someone who has passed away. And in both of those cases, that person had been arrested on a drug offense, and in order to be released on probation, they had to agree that they understand that if they do it again and someone dies, they are responsible.
The second thing that is happening, that it really is at our level, it's happening, and he used the example of this is your brain on drugs with the old commercial, or Nancy Reagan, just say no, that it's really incumbent upon us talking to that younger generation to say it might only be one pill, one time where you die.
Yeah.
And not, there are no street drugs that are safe right now at this time at all.
I found it interesting that one of the few agreements that President Biden came to with President Xi of China was that China is going to start going after the precursor chemicals in China. So the federal government's is starting
to take a note.
And they, you know, if they can do that, the more difficult we can make it to be manufactured, the more we can keep it off the streets. So anyway, pat on the back to the county for
Jason's great.
Yeah, and we had the PIO Jacqueline from his office on this show, and she was really, really well spoken. It was a good segment. We got a caller. Let's go right to him. Jody, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
And your question today?
You took my one question earlier, Gary, but that's okay. I got another one. Hey, you were talking about the road conditions and all this about paved roads and dirt. Well,
yep.
I'm up here in the Avenidas area, North Castro, by the new school, and the roads are all paved, but they're holy and need of repair, and the sides are, you know, every time I run it, everything's gone. So when I was just wondering, what's the requirement to get somebody up here to patch a bit of our roads?
Jody, that's a great question. So we have an app that I will tell you how to get to on your phone, and you can report. It's super easy to use. I've tried it, and I'm not super tech savvy. So it's called See, Click, Fix. So you see it, you click it, and we fix it. And if you report it on that app, you can do it with a geographic. It's kind of like a pin drop. You tell, and it goes directly to Public Works, and it tells them. It could be a pothole. It could be erosion. They drive those roads to try to make sure. We have what we call a pavement management system. It's some kind of complex algorithm that goes in and determines when we redo roads and how frequently. But if they start to see things from our residents that indicate that there's more than the predicted wear and tear, then they will escalate the repairs on that. So if you use that app or contact my office, we would be happy to help get that reported.
So the words See, Click, Fix is where the app is.
Okay, no problem. Right on. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right, Jody, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you, buddy.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. That's Jody. Good question, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of that.
Yeah.
I was recently at a restaurant in Yucca Valley, and I ordered some food, and what came along with the food was not very... very, very nice, kind of a slime. And I was able to literally sit in the restaurant on my cell phone and make a complaint to the county health department.
Environmental health.
Interesting. I got a response from them. And then a few days later, we sent an inspector out. Here's what happened. So the things move a lot quicker. It used to seem like you were just screaming at a wall when you're trying to get something done. But the county has become very
technology
receptive.
Has helped.
Yeah,
we were talking today. We have a test pilot program going with tech and environmental health. Food trucks, illegal food vending is becoming a significant problem, especially down below. But, you know, you can drive along 62 at night and see them popping up right over by Pie for the People.
Oh, yeah,
they're down by Triangle Liquor.
I thought those were legal.
Well, not
all of them.
Not all of them.
Yeah, okay.
And so they do. They have foodborne illnesses. They're not necessarily inspected. So they can apply to be legal, but I would say the majority are not, and you risk hepatitis, you risk, you know, all kinds of things. So environmental health will go out with in order to confiscate food if they're illegally vending. Our code enforcement officer has to have an environmental health officer with them, two people that co-locate, which is a giant waste in this county.
Wow.
Right. So yeah. We have a pilot program where we're taking iPads with our code enforcement officers, and when he sees a visual infraction of the code, he pings the person on FaceTime. The environmental health officer, that officer does a visual inspection that is legal through the iPad and will determine whether it is or is not worthy of confiscating the food from the vendor. So I think the county is becoming more responsive because you see it in tech.
And it's all public safety related.
It is.
I was reading an article in Riverside County that their concern is a lot of these pop-up food trucks and basically a pop-up by the side of the road, it's human trafficking. They'll take someone, the coyotes will say, okay, in order for me to bring you into the country, you've got to spend...
Pay your wage.
This, you know, yeah. You've got to do this for 6 months. So they're, I'm not saying illegal aliens, but they're being trafficked.
Yeah.
A lot of those people are being trafficked. It's not just somebody just trying to make a living.
And I understand the appeal sometimes of a quick, you know, swing through. But when you look at our small businesses that we've gone to great lengths to attract to the basin, the cost of opening up and maintaining a business, especially in the state of California, is pretty onerous. So it is a disadvantage, and it's an unfair disadvantage to those people that have put their entire life savings into operating small businesses and doing it the legal way.
So is the county increasing their enforcement of that? Are they starting to take a look at
it? So we're reactive in our enforcement.
So someone has to complain.
Someone has to complain.
Yeah. Okay. And, can they complain on C-Click Fix, or does it go to the Department of Health?
That's Public Works, but yes, they can contact my office, and we can certainly get it over to Environmental Health and Code Enforcement.
Okay, on that, we're going to take a quick little break. We'll be back with more of the Z1077 Up Close Show. Our guest in studio today is the chairman of the San Bernardino County Board of Supervisors, Don Rao. Our number is 760-366-8471. Our producer is Michelle Alley, and we'll be right back.
Well, come on. Quick Quack Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash.
It's their grand opening in Yucca Valley. You get a free car wash. She gets a free car wash. He gets a free car wash. Everyone gets a free car wash every day now through December 9th. Drive in dirty, drive out clean in just 3 minutes. Quick Quack, known for their monthly packages, eco-friendly products, and free vacuum and air stations. Just look for the duck on the highway, Yucca Valley.
Sue's Health Food, committed to your good health.
This is Cody Joseph from The Morning Show with Cody and Jeff. Sue's Health Foods is a regular stop for me. I can get staples there that I can't find at the grocery store. Everything from booch to nooch, as Jeff likes to say. Cashews in bulk, miso paste, local honey, and sweet treats for my kids. They really like the fruit chews from the bulk bins. The bulk bins are probably our favorite part of the store, and the employees are always so friendly and helpful. We couldn't make half the recipes we love without the ingredients we get from Sue's. My family has been shopping there for years, and the quality and care we have gotten has always been top-notch. I love going there, and I love supporting a local business that has given so much to our community for so many years.
Sue's Health Food.
And we are back with the Z1077 Up Close Show. It is 10:48 in the Morongo Basin. Our guest is Don Rao, the chairman of the San Bernardino County Board of Supervisors. We have someone just called. Okay, yeah. Oh, give out your office contact number.
Absolutely.
Somebody asked that you do that. So let's get Don's number.
760-366-1488.
And you get to talk to Steve.
Or Christina.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Great. So give the number again.
760-366-1488.
Another common problem here in the Morongo Basin, and again, you're from here, so you understand what I'm talking about, is illegal dumping. People come here because it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. And you go by, and there's a dirt road or an empty lot, and there's just a pile of trash there. What is the county doing to cut down on that?
So, a couple of things. People dump for various reasons. They are not wanting to take it to the landfill. They don't want to pay the fees. They don't want to take the time out of their day. They think that they can get away with it. So we do have dump sites where we can chronic dump sites where we can install cameras. We will go out and we clean them up. My office has a budget for cleanups. If you see a spot, you can call that number that I just gave. Steve has been great, my field representative, Steve Reyes, in working with constituents to get those sites cleaned up. We'll send people out to help, and then the cameras to hopefully prevent it. And then just having more community cleanup days. I have one coming tomorrow in Landers that I can talk about too.
Please tell us about the one coming up tomorrow in Landers. I think everybody wants to get rid of their tires.
Oh yeah, they say only up to 9, because then that makes you a commercial hauler if you have more than 9, and we refuse to take them.
It's a little dent. I mean,
For sure. Yeah. So tomorrow we have a community cleanup happening out at Homestead Valley Park from 8 until noon. Now, if all of the dumpsters fill up before noon, they might shut it down. So go early. The address in Landers at the Homestead Valley Park is 1501 Belfield Boulevard. And again, it's Homestead Valley Park tomorrow 1501 Belfield Park or Belfield Boulevard in Landers.
If I see someone dumping illegally, what can I do? I mean, we don't want you to confront anybody. We
take pictures. That's
take
helpful.
Pictures. If you can get a license plate.
If you
plate.
Can get a license plate, take pictures, note the time, the date. That app that I mentioned, C-ClickFix, that has a provision for reporting illegal dump sites. You can take pictures and send them in on that as well.
C-ClickFix.
C-ClickFix.
So if you see someone dumping.
Click it and then we'll fix it.
Take their picture. And
yes.
What are the penalties?
Well, it's I don't know the direct answer to that. I know that it's painful, but it's hard to catch. You know, we can sift through a lot of it and find pieces of mail, and then you can go talk to Mabel, whose mail was there, and Mabel will say, oh, well, I hired this contractor to pick up my stuff, and the contractor will say, oh, I hired a guy to take it to the dump, and then it becomes difficult to prosecute because everybody's pointing the finger at each other.
I know a lot of people who have cleanup work done on their property will ask for a receipt from the dump before
the
you get your
receipt.
Final
yep.
payment.
That is the best way to ensure that it happens.
Yeah. Other challenges that you have, you talked about Running Springs and mm-hmm. what's going on up there. Last winter, we had Snowmageddon mm-hmm. in the San Bernardino Mountains. Is the county better prepared this year to handle that? Whoever knew that was going to be that right. amount of snow in that short amount of time?
So we have done a number of things to be better prepared this winter for massive amounts of snow, which we typically don't get, through a grant from Senator Ochoa Bogue, as well as Assemblymember Lackey. We were able to procure big, heavy equipment that we didn't have in our fleet for that. We also prioritized budget within our county discretionary budget fund for more equipment. And by more equipment, we have plows. We have the giant front-end loaders that we needed, because once the snow becomes so heavy, you can't push it with a plow out of the way.
And I know that's what happened
scoop
with,
and dump.
The traditional equipment.
Yes.
It was just so heavy, it couldn't move it.
Right. And so we needed chains for we had some front-end loaders. They were not pre-positioned. We had our snow plows pre-positioned. So this winter, we have more of the giant front-end loaders. We have chains that will equip them, and they will be pre-positioned for that.
Okay, and I know it sounds funny talking about the snow removal on a desert radio station, but we actually do hit.
I remember one winter I had snow up to my knees up on.
But we do actually hit the backside of Big Bear. We have a listening base there, so we'll let them know that the county is prepped and has got brand new equipment. We're going to come right back with the final part of the Z1077 Up Close Show with Don Rao.
Z1077 has been exploring many of our small businesses and finding hidden treasures to share with you.
Discover Bruja Elixir, the Maranga Basin's only shop dedicated to tea, elixirs, and a carefully curated collection of adaptogens, hemp, fungi, and exotic herbs that are healing for our physical bodies and our spiritual selves. They also offer a variety of workshops meant to bring together the community and promote healing on a larger scale, plus spiritual services such as tea leaf readings, Reiki, and sound baths. For more information about their upcoming events, follow Bruja Elixir on Instagram.
The Joshua Tree Retreat Center, home of the largest collection of Lloyd Wright buildings in the country, a spectacular arts garden, and the Food for Thought Cafe, is also the home of Elemental Treasures, the artful bookstore. Their gift options include spiritual, wellness, and self-help books, artisan-crafted jewelry, vintage clothing, singing bowls, gems and crystals, greeting cards, artwork by local artists, and so much more. They have an assortment of treasures for under $20 that would make perfect holiday gifts. And mention that you heard about them on Z1077 to get 10% off your purchase.
And we are back with the final portion of the Z1077 Up Close Show. One of the things the county is dealing with right now is something called Flamingo 640, which is a proposal for development in the Flamingo Heights area. What is the status of that? What's going on with that right now, Don?
So this is an interesting development. So it is just after if you're going north on 247 and you go through Pipes Canyon and you pop out of the wash.
At the dip.
At the dip. Yeah. Come out of the dip.
Yeah.
And then right as you hit the curve, before it straightens out, there's property on the east side, on the right-hand side, if you're going north, a section of 640 acres that was purchased by a developer. And they want to do, kind of high-end glamping, camping, resort-type thing with a restaurant and some stuff there. So they went through the development process, which part of that entails a culmination at the Planning Commission for the Planning Commission to make a decision. Staff recommended approval of the project. And the Planning Commission, as far as I know, first time ever, said, we're not voting on this. They just refused to vote.
Either yay or nay.
That's correct.
They just said voting.
No.
Yeah.
They encouraged the developer to scale it down, to go back. And so the developer said, I'm going to appeal the no decision to the Board of Supervisors. So they paid for the appeal. It is coming before the Board of Supervisors December 19th. We will have the Joshua Tree Government Center open for anyone in the basin who wants to come in and give their 3 minutes of input to the supervisors. And our meetings start at 10 in the morning. And it's important because the Board of Supervisors has a couple of options. We can just accept the project as the applicant has applied for it, as staff recommended, even though it kind of skipped that planning commission level. We can just deny it outright, or we can kick it back to the planning commission and say, developer, go fix the scope of your scale to reduce it down, have it be something a little bit different, have the planning commission rehear it, and then bring it back to us.
So there are three options.
There are.
The number one is approve it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is
reject it.
And number three is kick it back down to the planning commission.
Yeah. Okay.
And they will be taking public input from people. So if you live in the Flamingo Heights area and are concerned with that, be at that meeting December 19th.
Yes.
And
10 a.m. Joshua Tree Government Center.
Yeah, but and they've got the video connection with the Vegas. So that's worked out really well, having
that
technology in there. It gives people a lot more things. We're running out of time, Don, but I want to ask you, what is it you want people to think about San Bernardino County?
Wow.
When I say San Bernardino County, what do you want to come into my head at first?
A great place to live, work, and play.
There you go. You heard it from Don Rao. Don will be back on the show in a little bit. I want to thank you so much. And again, election's coming up. We're going to talk
about
election.
In March, it'll be here soon.
In March, yeah. It's an interesting process. It's actually the primary election.
It is.
But how come it's not in November? Why is it in March?
It's like the state elections. So state and federal, it's an open primary. And then the top two vote-getters go on to November unless somebody gets more than 50% of the vote.
And the Board of Supervisors is nonpartisan.
That's correct.
It doesn't make a difference what political party.
Any party.
You belong to.
We represent everybody.
All right. Got my vote.
Thanks, Gary.
All right. That'll do it for the Up Close Show. Join me next week for more Up Close. We have representatives from the City of 29 Palms coming up next week. Until then, thanks for listening. Drive carefully and God bless. Bye-bye.